Someone posted a quotable quote on a baby room waiting area in a hospital, right there on the wall. And that quotable quote said, "Recent research shows that the first 5 minutes of life are very risky." And underneath those words, neatly printed, someone else had scribbled in, and quote again, "The last 5 minutes of life are not all that hot either." Beginnings and endings can be challenging. When we just act on our own. But when we know that God is with us, we can be more than confident. The minister was preaching, and in the course of his sermon, he asked, "Who wants to go to heaven?" And everyone held up their hands except one little boy. "Son, why do you not want to go to heaven when you die?" And the boy said right out loud, "Well, yes, sir, but I want to go when I die. And I thought you were getting up to load to go right now." That's probably the attitude that most of us would have. Many Christians do figure that when we die, we go to heaven to be with the Lord, even if we're not quite ready to make the trip today. But thankfully, death is not the last answer. That is the most beautiful message of Easter. But there were those days in between the dying and the rising. It's hard to imagine a more demoralized group of believers than that tiny band of followers after Jesus' crucifixion. Only the women were brave enough to mourn him in public. The men were obviously stunned by the sudden turn of events. In 1 week's time, they had seen their leader go from being cheered on in his entrance to Jerusalem to being crucified between two thieves. "We had hoped," they said. That's past perfect tense. It means that it's completed. We had hoped, but now we have given up. We had hoped, we used to hope, but we don't hope anymore. We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel, but now he was dead. And so were their dreams. In his book, The Christian Way, Maxie Dunham tells an interesting story about the great Canadian photographer, Yusuf Karish. According to Dunham, Yusuf Karish took only one portrait of a person from his back. And that was a portrait of the great historic cellist, Pablo Casals, in a small French abbey in 1954. Koresh writes that he was setting up his equipment as Casals began playing Bach on his cello. Koresh was so enthralled by the music that he almost forgot why he was there. He took his portrait of Casals with the little bald-headed man bent over his cello, frozen in time against the plain stone wall of that chapel. The photographer Carr said he took it that way to capture the loneliness of the truly great artist and the loneliness of exile. Years later, when that same portrait was on exhibition at the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston, another old, bald-headed man came that day and stood for a long period of time in front of the portrait. The curator of that museum noticed him. And when his curiosity got the best of him, he went over, tapped the man on his shoulder, and asked why he stood so long looking at that picture. The old man, with obvious irritation, turned on the curator and said, "Hush, man, can't you see I'm listening to the music? Can't you hear it?" All of us, every one of us, need to follow the singer and join in on the song of Easter. If Easter says anything to us at all, it is that Jesus will always be with us. The pyramids of Egypt are famous because they contain mummified bodies of ancient Egyptian kings. Westminster Abbey in London is renowned because in it rest the bodies of English nobles and notables. Muhammad's tomb is known for the great stone coffin and the bones that it contains. And as you know, Arlington Cemetery in Washington, D.C. is revered, for it is the honored resting place of many outstanding and brave Americans. But the garden tomb of Jesus is famous not for what it holds, but because it is empty. A little boy was just learning about addition and subtraction in school. And he looked up in worship on one Sunday morning and he saw the cross sitting on the altar and he hollered, "Look, Daddy, there's a plus sign in our church." The cross really is a plus sign. It is a plus sign in our daily lives. It tells us of the challenges and the blessings of being a Christian and accepting the forgiving grace that God offers through the cross. Through the cross, God did what only God could do. A horrible instrument of torture and dying was turned and transformed into a symbol of life and hope. God turned tragedy into triumph, humiliation into glory, and despair into hope. God took what was ugly and cruel and violent in the world and transformed it into a thing of beauty and to the symbol of peace. That's looking at it as a plus sign. And that is seeing the cross in a new way. Now, this is a gift of God. Have you ever noticed that the darkness in the early morning is different from the darkness of the evening? Do you call yourself a morning person or an evening person? Whichever it is, the darkness is different in the morning versus in the evening. When the day is ending and fading into night, the darkness grows ever darker. As your eyes adjust, you might not realize just how dark it is really getting. The darkness can seem like forever. But near the morning, the light begins to rise. The light begins to dawn. It's a two-directional thing. Dawn is very different from dusk. When the day is birthing, the light increases, and I think hope grows. Because of that, all the darkness of Good Friday could never overcome the dawning light of Easter morning sunrise. Some years ago, a college student came by his pastor's office to discuss theology. That sort of thing doesn't happen just every day. Eventually, the conversation came around to the subject of Easter. "What do you think of the resurrection?" the student asked. And the pastor replied, "Well, I believe that it happened in reality, and not just in the minds of the people." "What's your evidence?" the young one asked. The pastor responded, Twelve men gave up their careers, their families, and their lives to meet his simple command, "Follow me." Why would they do that? Just to perpetuate something that they had figured to be a hoax. "I don't know," the student mumbled. "I just don't know." He kept using the word "no." There was his problem, and it's ours too sometimes. We are all about learning and teaching. We just want to know. The young man was seeking to know. He was seeking knowledge, not faith. You do not say, "Resurrected Christ, appear to me and then I will believe." It's just the opposite. The resurrected Lord appeared only to those who did believe. The angel told the men to go to Judea, and there you will find him. I would suggest that Judea represents the community of the believers. Judea was to be the place where Jesus would plainly reveal to his followers that he was indeed alive. Jesus did not reveal himself to Caiaphas and to Pilate and the Herods of the world. Some years ago, the Saturday Evening Post ran a cartoon showing a man who was about to be rescued after he had spent a long time shipwrecked on a tiny deserted island all alone. The sailor in charge of the rescue team stepped onto the beach and handed the man a stack of recent newspapers. "Compliments of the captain," the sailor said. "He would like you to take a glance at the headlines in order to see if you would still like to be rescued." Sometimes the headlines bother. Sometimes the headlines actually scare us. Sometimes we feel like evil is winning, but then along comes Easter to remind us that there is no grave deep enough, no seal imposing enough, no stone heavy enough, no evil strong enough to keep Christ in the grave. Praise the risen Lord. Amen. If today is a day, on this great celebration day, we've been celebrating it all morning. This is our third service. There'll be another one tonight. Our youth led the sunrise this morning, and it rose right on cue. This is a day of resurrection and hope. If it is a day for you to claim a new faith, or to come to be baptized or confirmed in the faith that you have already been living in for some time, I invite you to the altar to visit with one of your pastors. or call me this week. But I invite you, if today is a day for you to turn, don't wait. Turn to God through Jesus Christ. Celebrate the radiant gift of resurrection and the hope that it brings. Do not take a moment longer to consider it or ponder it. The altar is open as we sing this hymn of invitation. The doors of the church and the doors to God's open arms are open to come and claim your faith and to profess your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Or if all that is intact for you, to join this congregation of United Methodist believers and to place your membership along beside ours and to join us in working for the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ in this time and place. Our hymn of discipleship is number 715. Rejoice, the Lord is King. Please rise as you are able. Let us sing together and walk as you are ready. I welcome you to this service of resurrection today and this week of celebrating Easter. You will go to your families and your homes, to your celebrations, to your little ones, your parents, great and grand. And let us all celebrate the joy of Easter morning, of the resurrection hope that we share in Jesus Christ, who is our only hope. Go in His peace, be filled and live in the light of His risen Spirit in this week and every week to come. Amen.